Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, to find common ground and take it to the next level with David Clark here on Blog Talk Radio. Each week, the show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. We will have an exciting array of diverse guests who will point up the fact that we are all spiritual beings having a human experience. Now your host, David Clark.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, where we will indeed be finding common ground and taking it to the max level. I'm your host, David Clark. I'm a spiritual adventurer, and I suggest you become the same. When you keep an open mind, not only will you open the door to new understandings, but you'll come to see that despite our seeming differences, we're all basically the same. This way, you can see where you can find common ground so that you can relate rather than compare yourself to others. Tonight, it's my pleasure to welcome back a woman who is known simply as An. She is a Magi walk-in from the multiverse, and she stepped into this human existence to relieve another soul who you may have remembered, and that's Jesse An Nichols George. An now inhabits Jesse An's body. She's still known by Jesse's name, though she does call herself An. The two of them are part of the same Magi team, which work to assist people in living compassionately, wisely, and harmoniously. Their work helps people to be conscious of their wholeness and how they are existing. Together, Jesse and An have created 7 books. Jesse was also a collaborator on the bestseller book Embraced by the Divine. Jesse hosted her own international radio show, The Code Connection, for 5 years and created the Genesis Clearing Statement. An focuses on carrying out the Code Journey work by producing a new edition of a book by that title each year to guide people in how to maneuver life on Earth. As a coding interpreter, she helps people understand the flow of their energy in this world and how to bring that into divine alignment. Her work uses almost 39 years of experience teaching and working with clients, as well as blending Eastern and Western philosophy through over 50 different modalities. An's human self is a 13-plus generation spiritual healer, energy tuner, spiritual and wellness coach. She is also a 13th generation druidic practitioner, honoring and appreciating the harmony of all things and working with the natural cycles of life. This bloodline history includes everything from freedom fighters like George Washington, a lead translator and Hebrew scholar involved in the original translations of the Bible, a 4-star general in the Air Force, royalty, Apache and Cherokee Indian, European farming, many of the Celtic and Northern European influences, as well as a bit of Norse energy. As a Magi, An works with all star seeds, soul groupings, and existences. And so it's my pleasure for the third time this month. This is the third in the series of interviews with An. Let me welcome her. An, how are you tonight?
I'm doing well, David, and thank you so much for doing this series and for letting me come on and share and to just explore these different things that have happened in my life and what this work is about and really how it's playing a role for people as they're moving through life.
Well, it's been a pleasure to have you. You're a very interesting and stimulating guest. And I do want to mention An's website in just a moment, so get your pens and pieces of paper out, because you'll want to research her more and find out ways to contact her and what the different types of work that she does that could benefit you. The website is compassionatecodes.com. And yes, we have been having a couple of previous interviews, and you can find those in the archives of blogtalkradio.com/author David Clark. And there was one interview last week, and there was one like 2 weeks before that or thereabouts. I may be wrong about that. You could correct me if you know for sure. Actually, I can research those dates.
The first, and then was the first interview, and then last week, the 22nd, was the second interview, and then today. And I've also taken the interviews, David, and I put them up on my Connecting Codes YouTube channel. They're, I believe, also on my regular YouTube channel, and they're on my BitChute channel. So BitChute is new. It doesn't have a lot of people on there right now. And my Connecting Codes channel is a new channel, so they're not going to see a lot of people on that channel yet. And that deals with world events particularly. And I decided to separate those channels off because there are some people that don't want to look at anything political. They don't want to look at anything in the world. They don't want to deal with the economy or any of that. And so I like to respect that space for people, which is why I created a separate channel altogether for it that deals with a little more of the unusual in the world happenings and what these different events that are happening in our world is about.
Well, we are going to be exploring those things tonight. And Anne will be doing a reading at the end of the show involving some code work. And one of the lucky callers is going to get that reading. Anne, would you tell us what a walk-in is and what your role in Jesse and Nicholas George's life has been and is at present?
Yes. So I definitely encourage people to go back and listen to the previous two interviews because it's going to give a really full background on what it is being a walk-in, what I stepped into coming in as a walk-in and that whole transition. But as a walk-in, that is really, for me, it's a soul that steps into the body that another soul has been existing in. And as we touched about in the interview before, for me, I actually had the gift and the blessing to work hand in hand with Jesse for a couple of months and to share a body, which is not something that happens very often. So it's a little more unusual of a situation for that. A lot of times a walk-in is coming into a lot of trauma, a lot of drama going on in the life. They may be stepping in, for example, when a body isn't ready to pass, but a soul has already chosen to step out due to extreme circumstances, such as a car accident or some other major trauma. That's oftentimes when we see a walk-in. It's not something that people can just request and say, hey, can somebody send a relief down for me? Or, you know, we don't just step in and take over a body or anything like that. So I don't want anybody to be freaked out about that aspect. But, people worry about that.
Of course. That does make sense, too. The whole concept is somewhat intimidating. But the way you describe it makes it sound very peaceful and reassuring. And, you know, rather than reiterating everything that we talked about with you coming into Jesse's life, I was thinking maybe you could just talk about I'm losing my train of thought. I had a great idea and I've lost it. at any rate, I'm sorry to interrupt. You were talking about what a walk-in does and what it's meant, how you were working together with Jesse.
Yes, and I'm sure that thought's going to come back to you. So just
It just did. You talked about the example of how a soul is ready to move on and a body is not. In Jesse's case, and correct me if I'm wrong, it seems to be that Jesse was ready to go, but that her life's work was meant to continue on and somebody else needed to do the job. Is that an accurate assessment?
That's a pretty accurate assessment. She was under some very unusual circumstances, which we talked about in the interview last week, I believe it was, that we had to get her out of the body. Now, Jesse and I work on the same Magi team, which is based in the multiverse. We work with all the different groupings and, you know, starseed places and planets and all of this stuff. And so the Magi are really based in helping people live more compassionately. We try to keep things moving in that direction. Yes, things happen in worlds like what we have happening now, and things get chaotic. But she had some unusual circumstances that we needed to get her out of this physical body because there was danger for her. And the work she had opened up from her journey with Orly, which brief sentence on that, basically Orly was a cat that Jesse rescued from going over a waterfall, and they took a huge journey together. And that's both in the book, and we talked about that last week. So this work had been opened up, the Code Journey work, which is really insights and a kind of daily guidebook that helps people get through living in the third dimensional energy here and gets through, you know, what life is like here on Earth. And because their journey together, Orly and Jesse's, opened up this work, somebody had to come in and step in and take care of this work. One, the body wasn't ready to give out when she needed to go, and two, this whoever stepped in for this body had to be able to handle that work. So that really leaves a very small portion of souls, if you want to say that, to draw on, because this is a very specific language that we work with, so it really kind of had to be somebody from our own grouping in many ways for this. And I think that we are going to be seeing a lot more walk-ins come through, just because people are living longer, just because of the intensity of the times. I think that you know, that may be something that we see more of. I don't think it'll ever be tons and tons of it, but I think it will be more than what we've known it to be, and more than what it is at this point because of those reasons. And especially in times like this where we have so much going on and so much happening. And so, yes, really, I had to come in and step in so that we could keep this work going, because once you open something up of this kind of magnitude with this kind of ability to influence the world, you can't just leave it out there. You can't just leave it dangling out there. It either has to be wrapped up, or it has to be maintained, or something of that nature. So that's what brought me in here.
Well, a couple of questions and a point of clarification. Would you explain to people what the multiverse is? Because some people may not be familiar with that term.
So the multiverse is really, in many ways, it's a space kind of similar to what we think of as, you know, like a planet would have a space, and Venus is you know, one space, and Earth is another space, and things like that. On another hand, though, when we talk about the multiverse, with the multiverse, it's a very interdimensional plane. And so it is a plane that simultaneously accesses and is involved in every existence at every point in time in every place. So it's a very expansive peace. It's a very all-encompassing place, if you want to say that. And so with the Magi team, we are watching and seeing what's happening in all of these different existences and everything that's going on at once. And we're making decisions regarding what's going on, to bring in the wisdom to say, okay, this is getting out of hand over here. We need to, you know, step in and open some consciousness for people to bring the compassion up in this space. We maybe have a danger or a risk situation in another space going on. So there's a lot that's happening, and it's a lot of things going on at once in there. So it's a very all-encompassing space. It's very all-encompassing.
Thank you. That's helpful. It spurs a lot of other questions, but I'm not going to go into that now. The point of clarification was you had spoken earlier about books, and The Code Journey is a book of daily meditations, if you will, right? And that comes out every year. And you're working on the book for 2021, as I remember.
I am. I am in progress with that book right now for the 2021 version. And every year a new book comes out. These books are pretty close to 700 pages. When I say pretty close, we're talking 690, 700 page range. And that's just for 1 year. And I delve into it with an overview of the year. I talk about the starseed energies that we have going on from year to year. I talk about generational energy that we have going on. I talk about some of our global energy that's going on. So there's a lot of different breakdowns within that year energy that I take a look at and share in the book so that we understand the influences that are there. When we talk about things like the starseed generations and the starseed groupings that are coming in, it's both we will see those that are the, we might refer to them as scouts for that starseed grouping, become more activated. Their work becomes more activated in the current times. At the same time, they're being born in, just like a generation is being born in to the earth. So we definitely look at those influences because they're going to have not only an impact on what is happening currently, but also an impact of what's going to be coming in the future and the type of energy that's entering in. So, you know, each one of these groups has a purpose. They have something that they're bringing into the world with them. Now, you know, some of those have been to be enterprising, and some of those have been to be groups that came in. They were meant to break down the structures of heavy organizations. Other ones are meant to clean things up. Other ones are meant to bring in more wisdom, more understanding. So each one's a little bit different. And then from there, I also go in and I talk about the months, and I break it down, and we have the energy of the months that are in there. So each month has its own energy, and this changes everywhere, every year. It's not like astrology where every June the same energy is present. It changes every year what the dynamic is from that base. And then within that, we also have broken down into groupings of days that are angel guided, so the different angels that are guiding the energy at that time, and then it's broken down into a daily aspect. And I also put in there things like influences of the new full moon, portal aspects like meteor showers and solstices and things like that, and what energy is present for that. So yeah, there's a lot in it. There's a lot to work with in this book.
How does a person work with the Code Journey?
You know, I think that it's such a personal journey, which is really cool when you're working with this book, because it doesn't matter whether you're just beginning your journey, you're just exploring things, or whether you've been on your journey for decades and you've got a lot of wisdom and you've got a lot of background. And it's really great. Like, I like to go in and I'll read what's happening, for example, for the month. We have a new month coming up. And I'll read about what those influences are, and I'll kind of put those in my mind, like, here's my key targets that I want to stay focused on. But then each day will also have its influences, so I can go in and I'll kind of checkpoint it to where I'm feeling, like, okay, my day, I'm not feeling real motivated today. And so maybe I'll open the book up and it'll say, you need to go be in nature today, or you need to give yourself a mental break today and not try to do, this might be a really great day for writing, so I might put off that play day for a day or two and focus on the writing. But then I'll also look at things that might be happening in the world, things that are going on in my life, and I might think, well, you know, what is this tied to? And I'll go back to the different points, maybe go back to the year influences and say, okay, well, what's happening between these dates? What's going on? What's the influences there? And I find that a lot of times the answers are always there. I also find with this, it can be a great tool if somebody wants to plan something, whether that is a vacation or whether that is a workshop that they're doing, or you know, they're considering a move or something like that, and they can go in and say, okay, I'm planning on taking this vacation on June 23rd or whatever, and they can go in and they can look at all the influences that covered for June 23rd from the month and the day and all of those things and see what the energy currents are and see, is it safe to travel? Is this going to be a good time to do a retreat, or is the energy favoring something else at that time? So it's a very, on one hand, it's really a very open tool, and I find that it meets people where they are. It may take them a few months or possibly even a year to really work with it and see how the different terms in the book play out for them. Like, we talk about abundance, for example, and that could play out different ways for people. You know, it might play out as more of a spiritual abundance or an abundance of joy that's coming through. For other people, it might have to do with a lot of success. So part of it is you have to kind of be with it and work with it, and then you start to see how those different terms are coming up for you. And when you see those terms, because it's not always just this black and white term of, okay, this is a lucky day, you better go play the lottery. It's you have to kind of expand it and not always take it completely literally and let it see where it takes you. And like I said, I think for each person, they can see these different ties and things that are happening. One of the things I did open up for people was a study group, which we oftentimes do around the full moon and the new moon time frames. And it gives people a chance to jump on a call and ask a question, share things that are happening, and start to see how the codes are playing out in their life and to get some deeper understandings or deeper layers about it. But it's actually a very easy, very accessible book to work with, which is what I love. There's no specific, you have to do it this way type of thing. I think people find their flow. I have a friend in Denmark who will take and she will read the next day's codes the night before when she gets ready to go to sleep. And so it then will, you know, be in her brain, and it opens her brain up to different things while she's sleeping, which is a way that works really great for her. Or some people like to read them at the end of the day, and they will go back and they'll go, oh yeah, I can see how this played out in my life, or where this happened or that happened. A lot of people like to read them at the beginning of the day because then they kind of have a heads up or some foresight of what they're getting into. They know, okay, people might not be in the best mood today, so this is, you know, I need to walk maybe a little carefully around people who are in real heavy emotional states, or I need to maybe watch what I say a little bit more than normal, or things like that. So that foresight, I think, is such a powerful piece. And I'm going to stop and let you interject something in here.
Well, I was just going to say it sounds like a very comprehensive and flexible tool. So people can go to your website to get information on the book. And what's the best place for them to buy the book?
Absolutely. And there is both a paperback and an e-book version of the book. And the best thing to do is to go onto my website, and you will find on there, and again, that's compassioncodes.com. And I'm actually just going to pull it up if I can here. And there will be a tab that is for products, and it actually says goods is the term that I have on there. And the first thing, as you kind of highlight on goods, is the code journey, and you just click on that and then scroll down, and it has just under the videos an option for where to purchase, depending on what you want. If you want Kindle or if you want an ebook version, I like to suggest Smashwords for ebook versions, because you can get more than just the Kindle version through them. You can download it to multiple devices there, and then it's got the link that goes directly into the correct one on Amazon. Amazon got a little tricky with me this year. I'm a little fussy, and so it's not as easy to find if you're just trying to do a search in that direction on things. So it's best just to go right into the website, go to that goods tab, select the code journey, and it'll get you right to the correct links that you need.
Perfect. Well, you have talked about current events as one of the things that the code journey affects, and I'm wondering if you would be willing to extrapolate on that.
Absolutely. We have so many incredible things happening in the world right now. And one of the things that had come up in the codes between last year and this year talked about the collapse of different structures, upheaval in the royal family. And if we look at that, we know there's been turnover in the royal family. There's actually been a turnover in the leadership of royal family. We've seen part of the royal family leave the castle, you know, and go and live in another country. These are things that haven't been done before in culture and society. We have various things that are happening now. We're in a period right now, really particularly in the next 4 to 5 years, where there's a lot of things focusing on the truth coming out. A lot of lies and deceptions are being exposed. A lot of truth is being brought forward. And this can be really disorientating for people. It can be frustrating for people. It can be challenging for people. There's all kinds of things. But one of the aspects, for example, in the year's codes talks about this being the beginning of the end. And that is because our choices right now have a lot to do with the direction our world goes. And it has a lot to do with how things are going to unfold and how they're going to play out. So, you know, on one hand, when we look at the codes and we look at what some of the current events are that are coming out and how they're connecting with the codes, I want to say that the codes are not a prediction tool, okay? They're not going to tell you that, you know, we're going to have a virus that's going to shut down the world and it's going to happen on such and such a date and you're going to have a lockdown for X period of time. It will give you information about different challenges or different pieces that are associated, but it's not a prediction tool. even though it's a foresight tool, it's not a prediction tool, and there's a very big difference in that because it's reading the interaction of the currents, and then we can actually go in and see how some of these things play out, and we can look more intensively, for example, at a particular piece in things, you know, whether that is the economy or whether that is, you know, something being called a hoax or a protest or whatever it is, we can look at these different things. I also, David, want to make some big clarity because there are a lot of things out there that have been scaring people. In all honesty, it's been holding them in a lot of fear. They hear about all of these agendas going on. They hear about these different things happening. And I think it's very important for us to realize that in this 4 to 5 year period, there's so much transition and there's so much transformation happening. And yes, we're ending one way of living. We're moving into another way of living. And there is some struggle between forces that is going on. There's no doubt about that. But a lot of the big fear-based things that people have been told that might be happening in some parts of the world are not going to be happening here in the United States, for example. And we have to realize that things will play out different ways in different places. And a lot of that old control-based structure is crumbling right now. This year is all about rebuilding and restructuring. And in the process of doing that, there are going to be things that are going to crumble. That's a natural part of cycles. That's a natural piece of things. And I want people to not be afraid because we are actually shifting the timeline right now because of our choices, because of coming together in the hardships, because of working different things. And that doesn't mean we don't have things to work on, because we do. We still need to come together a lot more than we are right now. But we've gotten to a point where we're tipping the scales, which means that we are pushing out that New World Order agenda that was so confining and so restrictive and so doom and gloom in what it presented. And we're now letting those plans, we're taking those plans, dissolving them, and we're using what was in place to start to restructure things in a more favorable direction, which offers up more freedom for people. It honors their rights. It honors people coming to a more equal playing board. And when I say that, it doesn't mean that we're all going to have the same amount of money and earn exactly the same income and have exactly the same kind of house. It means that we're all going to be equal in our rights. And yes, there's always going to be a little bit of discrepancy in there. There's always going to be a little bit of polarity in there. But we're doing a lot of balancing out. And I think that this is a really positive thing for us to keep in mind. I think that it's really encouraging that we have broken through our choices enough that we can start to restructure these things. Now, you know, for again, if we look at this in the way of world therapies or world events that are going on, for example, the beginning and the end, and things are coming to a close and they are collapsing down. One of the things, for example, is the Federal Reserve being collapsed into the Treasury Department. So it's moving away from this controlled central banking system that we've been on, and we're starting to see the shifts and the changes, and we're going to have some more of that coming out over this summer about that, because there's going to be a lot of restructuring that's going to be going on in our money systems, a lot of moving more towards real money versus just imaginary money that comes out of wherever. We're also seeing more emphasis getting placed on therapies versus just straight out drugs and medications and vaccines. And so here again, that's also very promising. And this is bringing up a lot of opportunities for our healers, for our therapists, people in massage, people in energy healing. It's bringing up a lot of opportunities that people didn't look at before. So that's that to me also is very positive. In this time period, a very big piece is that we've got to develop living spiritually, and we've got to step out of the 3D distortions, which means we've got to start getting back to our truth. We've got to start living more in our truth. And I think that people are going to gradually get there as we move through all these things. But I'll tell you, people will ask, well, why is this stuff just not all brought out in the open right now? And, you know, why can't we just know it all right now and it all be done right now? Because there are steps and there are processes. And in order to make the transitions, you can't just go straight to the huge big stuff. You have to break down through these different layers, and then you have to get rid of all the bad seeds, so to say, right? You got to pull the weeds out, so to say, so that you can make the garden thrive. It's the same sort of concept. We really came out and everything was exposed to everybody about everything that's going on all in one fell swoop. It would be so overwhelming for most people. Maybe not for some of the spiritual community, but for a lot of people, it would be so overwhelming to them, and we would see a lot more of suicides, a lot more of the heavy protesting, a lot more of, and I don't mean the gentle protesting, let's all go up and stand up for our rights. I mean the more violent types. And so we have to be careful. You know, you have to give, like, you don't just stuff a whole turkey down somebody and say, eat the whole turkey, right? They got to take it in bites. They got to take it in pieces, because otherwise they're going to get sick. Otherwise they're going to not be able to digest that much at once. And so it's the same kind of concept. Now, this summer, one of the big things that we have coming around, and I want to make sure I have my notes here, is it's going to start dealing with, and some of the pieces actually started back on April 25th was one of the points, which runs through October 4th. And we start at this point, yeah, it started on the 25th, brings up in the book about looking at what you're supporting, the crash of big organizations, including big pharma and chemicals due to greed and power. Well, guess what? Trump pulled funding from the WHO right about that time. Then he kind of temporarily gave it back for maybe a week or two in here, and he just completely cut the WHO altogether today. So we asked that, well, guess what? Who is connected to Big Pharma? Who is connected to Gates? Gates is now the biggest funder for the WHO. So these are the steps. When you cut off major funding to the WHO, then you are taking a dent in Big Pharma. Also this week, Trump announced the drop and put a cap on insulin for people who are diabetic. So now they can no longer price gouge and charge people $400, $500 for their insulin. They can't charge more than $30, $35. So we're going to see, you know, some of these corrupted pieces really, you know, really coming down, which I think would excite a lot of people. You know, a lot of people say, well, you know, I'm worried about this, and why is this important? Because when we look at these things, for example, WHO, the World Health Organization, they got to pick and choose who got what vaccines. And those vaccines were coming out of what Bill Gates was creating. So when you look at some of these pieces, you think, okay, now we're no longer at the mercy of that type of vaccine. We can still create a vaccine. We can still, you know, offer these different things, but they won't be under that particular aspect or that particular guideline in there. One of the pieces that we do see is we see a lot of right now is the codes also in this time period talk about personal rights being a key focus, human rights. You know, what are we going to do about alleviating some of the hunger and the homelessness? And so we're going to keep seeing these waves too, because you got a controlling energy that wants to dominate the world and dominate everything, then, you know, they're going to keep coming at you with different things, which is why you want to kind of be prepared. And I know I saw some of these things through reading the codes saying, okay, we're headed for some hard times. And I'm watching the news and I'm like, okay, I need to stock up, not for the 2 weeks, I need to stock up for 3 months. Right? You know, you start to learn some of these pieces in things. And of course, there's so many layers to this. You know, there's so many layers. And when we look, for example, at the personal rights piece, we see people standing up for personal rights. And this is an important thing, because if there's one thing we can't afford to give up, we can't afford to give up our rights. We also see in other areas where people don't get to speak up as much for their rights. We did see where they started doing some forced vaccines, which again is why we cut these things off. You can cut things off and then you can come back into things in a safer way. This is, again, part of the restructuring of our world right now. So sometimes you have to do it. These are big eye-opening pieces, I think, in our world. And the encouraging thing is the codes talk a lot about justice being served in this time, which is very interesting to me, because when I've been watching some of these world events and I've been watching some of the happenings with, you know, issuing with the indictments being unsealed and different things like that, that if they had been unsealed at another time, things might not be able to bring in full accountability. And accountability is so important on the spiritual process as well, because when we don't take accountability for something and we're, you know, that full acceptance, that full circle has come around, we leave little remnants of things that can come back and do more harm in the long run. So bringing full accountability is very, very important in things, and we're seeing this. You know, there's not a lot of plague going around. I mean, you think about, let's just take of something again that happened in the last couple of days in Minneapolis and the whole situation that's going on out there, right? You know, in the past, think about how long those investigations would have gone on, how long it would have been to bring a charge against somebody, and they've already got charges against the police officer out there. So
right.
It kind of says a lot. You know, when we look at these things, it's like, yeah, it's about freedom. You know, these attempts through the virus, through these different world affairs, have been about shutting down freedoms, and people we'll learn more about that, because more of that is going to keep unfolding. The codes show us the truth is going to keep coming out. And that's where we have to get out of our party. We have to get out of saying, oh, it's a Democrat thing. Oh, it's a Republican thing. Oh, it's, you know, blah, 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 blame, blame, blame. And we have to come back around and say, okay, you know, what is happening? What got spoiled? And it's hard. It's hard for us to accept that the people we were taught to trust may not be telling us the truth. So if you just start looking at it and the piece is going, oh, well, here's where justice is getting served, you know, here's where this is happening. Okay, this is telling me more and more. And even our weather will do that. When the codes show that there's strong weather patterns coming in, oftentimes the harsh weather will ironically hit an area that is working out of integrity. There's something that's lacking integrity right in that area, and it may have to do with the mayor or the senator or the governor of that state. And it's very interesting, because nature responds to these vibrations, and so it will naturally kick up in these areas. We saw it where there was the governor in Michigan that was coming down so tight and, you know, being extreme. You know, there's safety and then there's extreme. And what happened? There was, you know, there was a breaking open of stuff that flooded things out around there. And this was plays into another piece. It's not just about that person, that governor. It's about showing us, look, our infrastructure is not good. So even the codes talk about things like infrastructure in there. It talks about we got to take care of these pieces. We got to build the infrastructure. And I think we're seeing a lot of that. I think a lot of countries have become aware that you can't have all of your manufacturing in one place, especially when things are going to break out around the world, like a virus, real, imposed, whatever you want to say. The reality of it is you have to be able to take care of yourself, country, and be able to still go on. And if all of your manufacturing is in another country and things shut down, that's not going to be very good. It's going to be hard to survive. So, like, every country should be able to provide for their own basic needs in that thing. So
let me ask you a question.
Big shifts. Yeah, let me shut up for a minute.
Well, no, that's fine. I just wanted to interject. I had a question going way back, and you used the word shift. You used the word time, and you talked about shifting timelines, and I wondered if you could explain what that means.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, we have all of these multiple parallel timelines going on, because for every decision that could be made in every situation, there's a timeline that decision is playing out. And that's kind of massive to think about. But in our world, in this dimension, we have two primary timelines that have been a bit in battle, and one of those timelines has been that kind of horror story timeline that we've all heard about, right? That kind of new world order, everybody's going to be controlled, nobody's going to be able to leave their house, you have to be microchipped, you know, all of these things. And if we had not made certain decisions along the way, that's exactly what we would have gone into. But because there are a lot of changes that are being made, the other parallel timeline has a lot to do with raising the consciousness. Now, you can't change the fact that you're in a 3D energy space, but when you change your consciousness, you change the existence. And so the other timeline is focused on moving more into this fifth dimensional concept, which is, I won't say that it's a perfect world, total euphoria aspect, but it definitely is a more compassionate world. And it's definitely a world where the priorities are not about money as much as they're about caring about people.
When you're talking about a parallel timeline, are we also talking about parallel lives?
In some aspects, yeah, we're actually talking about parallel lives. So we actually kind of have one foot in one foot in the other right now. And we probably will be in that space for about the next 4 to 5 years. But the more people that choose to go with the heart-centered timeline, what happens and what we're already starting to see happen as of this year is we're seeing the very confining old structure timeline crumble as more people move over. And this also is in the codes, David, because it also talks a lot in this year, for example, of various things like, let me see if I can find it. I have all these tons and tons of notes here. But it talks about the old structures that are not sustainable for us being dissolved and starting to crumble. And this is part of why I have so much faith and so much optimism in what is happening in our world, and why it's really an amazing, powerful time that we're in. Because I understand that the old structures are crumbling. And the reason they're crumbling is because they're not sustainable. Like, you can't keep raising taxes forever on people. You can't keep working on fake money because it feeds and nourishes control structures. And it pulls people out of their their soul and their spirit energy. It just connects them in so many ways. So, you know, as we shift and we keep making the choices saying, I don't want that, you know, I don't want a totally controlled life. I want to be able to choose for myself where I live, where I work, what I'm doing, these types of things. Then we start shifting this whole structure. And we start stepping onto a timeline that is sustainable. And for a timeline to be sustainable, it's got to be rooted in the heart center. It's got to be rooted in love. It's got to be rooted in compassion. And even though we're seeing a lot of devastation in the process of getting there, we are getting there. And I think that that is so important for us to hold in our minds. I think that is so important that even these things that seem like tragedies are bringing us together. It's kind of like when a tornado hits an area and everybody comes together in that area and helps each other. It's the same kind of thing, and I'm even seeing it with some of the world events again, where people are saying we have to stop different aspects of our thoughts. You know, we have to put an end to racism things. We have to put an end to certain things so that, you know, this is not sustainable. These power structures, these greed structures, and that's why we're seeing all these CEOs step down. We're seeing all of these major shifts, and we're going to have more of it. And the other exciting piece in the codes is it's telling us to look to our past so that we can make wise choices now and create what will be a successful future for ourselves. So we see that where, for example, Trump suggested hydroxychloroquine. He went into the past to bring something that we could use right now to help move us in a more favorable direction. Now, I know people have their opinions and their arguments or whatever over that, but let's just set it aside for the basic concept of it, because what is it going to open up? The other thing that's being unsealed right now, which should be very exciting for people, is a lot of Tesla's technologies, a lot of Tesla's inventions were sealed up, and now they're being unsealed and they're going to be brought out. And those are things that we're going to be seeing unfold. So some of the technologies that people are afraid of, we actually have ways through Tesla's inventions and Tesla's works to bring in these different healing modalities, to bring in different options that create greater sustainability for our world and living here, and for doing it in a way that is more compatible and in alignment with our Earth and Mother Nature, which I think is incredibly important for us to look at, because if we just keep doing the things that are destroying our Earth, then, you know, we're not going to have an Earth. It's not sustainable. But fortunately, we are making choices that are moving us into a more sustainable and a more heart-centered existence. And I just hope that people will hold that understanding as we go through the different challenges that are thrown at us and building that up.
Let me ask you another question. As we step into another timeline, is that how we start to shift into a new dimension or out of three-dimensional existence and thinking?
Well, it's a start. And, of course, whether we are in a fifth-dimensional or a three-dimensional experience really comes down to those choices, which is why choice is so important. You know, it's right there in our fundamental rights, and that's why we have to keep standing up for that so importantly, because the fifth dimension, that dimension is in this plane on this earth, is going to be more of a mindset. It's more of a way of living, because you're not going to totally dissolve structures as you see them. You're not, you know, those the physical components that we live in are 3D. Now, we've been living in a 3D mindset for quite a while. here on this earth. And now we're starting to change. We're starting to think about, hey, we got to set differences aside. Hey, we need to live more into the soul self. And the more we step into the soul's way of being, then the more we're going to shift into that fifth dimensional energy. And how that plays out in the world is we see the shifts and the changes from saying it's all about money, you've got to work three or four jobs to survive, to restructuring where you actually do get that vacation, where you actually are having family time, where life is set up in a way that you can do more of what you love in the world and what's your passion than just having to work for a paycheck. So we're going to start seeing those priorities shift, and that is going to shift the energy quite a bit here.
It has a lot to do with the heart.
It does. It has a lot to do with compassion, which is part of what I really love about the code journey, because the way it's structured is to teach us how to live compassionately and how to get rid of some of these old non-sustainable thought programs that have been instilled in us, and to let go and to honor ourselves, to honor being in the soul self. So absolutely, this fifth dimensional lifestyle is about how we're going to treat each other, how we're going to act, how we're going to be. And I think that that's important. You know, along with that, there will also be a lot of other technologies, like I said, unfolding in the world. But we have safe ways that we can unfold those technologies, especially if we look to the past of what Tesla left for us to work with. And we definitely can make these shifts. And I think it's sometimes hard for people to wrap their heads around that. And I say that because, I mean, let's face it, if, you know, anybody asked you a year ago or even 7 or 8 months ago, you know, do you think you're going to be locked down in your house for a month and a half? Nobody would have thought about that. You know, that wouldn't have been a way of living if they said, you know, you're not going to go anywhere without a mask or things like this. I mean, nobody would have, they would have laughed in your face and said, you're joking, get out of here, you know. So these things are very real and they're very possible, and we have very incredible things that are available and very possible to create in our world. And it's all based on these choices. It's all based on coming into compassionate living. And I'm seeing more and more people make that choice, which is really, really exciting. These are incredible times. They're incredible times. And it's why we see so many people from Lemuria and Atlantis here, because they remember the collapse of things to non-sustainable lifestyles, non-sustainable systems. And they're here to really help. This is why there's so many starseed groupings here and so many incredible souls with these healing energies and these musical energies and doing what they can to raise the vibration of the earth, because they know what happened before and they're here to make sure that we don't walk down that path again. And they're here to see us through, and they're here to help us choose that sustainable option.
I'm wondering if you could explain what starseed groupings are.
Okay, yeah. So starseed groupings are, you know, they are groupings that come in from different planets. They're souls that maybe their home is based on Sirius or Lyra or, you know, one of these other aspects, or there are souls that existed in a certain culture or time, such as Lemuria or the Atlanteans. We hear a lot about the Pleiadians. So they're different souls that have entered in, and many of the ones that are here now are trying to bridge these gaps, not only on Earth, but, you know, between the various starseed groupings. So they'll come in from a specific location, and each of those locations or groupings have an energy that they bring to them, you know, whether that is a protective energy or whether that's a healing energy or, you know, those types of things. So we know, like, for example, there's actually quite a bit of souls here from that are Lyrian souls. And that has a lot to do with cat energy, a lot of the feline energy, the lion energy. And so those souls are really trying to bring in peace. They're trying to bring in very heart-centered energy, and they bring in a lot of healing energy. So we oftentimes will find healers that are from the Lyrian or the Sirius starseed groupings and that planet, the planet Lyra. And we also, like I said, have a lot here from Atlantis, from when Atlantis was in existence. We have a lot here from Lemuria. We know that there's a lot of musicians and artists and very strong teachers, very strong people bringing in a lot of wisdom, because the Atlantean culture has a lot of wisdom culture to it. The Lemurian is a more gentler energy, so it's much more of a peaceful vibration. They want to see things happen in a very peaceful way in that aspect. So, yeah, the starseed groupings, it's really interesting. That's just, you know, you could kind of equate them. It's kind of like a bigger scale, just like a macrocosm in some ways of being equal to people from different countries. You know, you have people from Africa, and you have people from China, and you have people from Zimbabwe, and you have people from South America, and you have Canadians, and, you know, you have people from all these different cultures, and starseeds are a lot like that, except for they come from different parts in the universe. Are you still with me, David?
I am. I thought I'd lost you.
Okay.
Thank you for explaining that to me. Oh, I got a dial phone. I was taking it off of mute, and all of a sudden there's a dial tone. Well, good. If I've got you, that means we've got the other people. Is there anything else you'd like to say about current events, or should we go to a caller?
You know, I think certainly I'm open, and if any of the callers out there want to ask me about any of them, I'll see what I can connect in with the current things. But literally almost everything that is happening in our world right now is right there in the codes. And it's so interesting when you start to do this work and you start to get into it and you start to see these pieces. And I know there's people that have been hoping certain things were going to, you know, come around for for quite a while in there. But, you know, when I start to look at it and I'm letting them know, it's like, okay, I would expect this to happen this summer. You know, again, they're not going to tell us something's going to happen on a specific date or something like that. It can tell us dates that might be favorable for something. You know, we could look at it and say, oh, the energy is really peaceful, or, you know, we're in this abundance energy and that's a really good time for socializing and gathering with people or things like that. But, you know, when we get into the world event types of things, I think it's, you know, you're not going to get a specific day. Like, you know, it's not going to be like, okay, Gates is going to be brought down on August 3rd, you know, of this year for such and such a, you know, crime against humanity or whatever. But between April 25th and October 3rd or 4th or whatever, this is where the focus is going to be. It's going to be on, you know, breaking down things related to these big pharma aspects, you know, chemical aspects. So, you know, we're going to probably see some changes in the farming industry and things like that. So I think that's the piece in there that's just important to keep in mind is it is going to get that heads. And it's so interesting when you start to see the headlines pop up in the news and you start to see what's being talked about between world leaders and the decisions that are being made. And you're like, yep, right there, right there, that's where it is. So, yeah, if people want to ask me about that, or if we want to do a reading with somebody, I'm all for it.
Well, since I advertised that there would be a reading, let's do that first, and then if time allows, we'll go back for questions. I'm going to ask you to pick a number between 1 and 3.
Between 1 and 3, I will go with 3.
Okay, very good. Area code 203, you're live. What is your first name, please? Area code 203, are you muted by any chance? You've been chosen to get a reading, if you would like. If not, we'll go to another caller. All right, that's what we're going to do. 1 or 2, Jesse? Oh, I've got a third one, too. 1, 2, or 3?
Yeah, well, let's go 2. What the heck?
All right. Area code 646, you're live. What is your first name?
Hi, my name is Diana.
Hi, Diana. How are you?
I'm good. Hello.
Good. Say hello
Diana.
To Jesse.
Hi, Jesse. I wasn't sure I could
Hi.
Call you Jesse or Ann.
Call me on, because actually I'm on.
On, sorry. So, I guess my question is, I'm not really paying attention to so much as to what's really going on around me. I'm neutral to that. But I guess my question is, I'm 40 years old plus, and I have no reason, I have no understanding or reason to know why I'm here on Earth. I remember when I was a teenager, I used to look up into the sky, into the stars, and I said, take me back home. And now that I'm 40 plus, I don't understand my role here. I don't get it. The more I tap into humanity, the more complex, I guess, it is. And a part of me doesn't want to be part of it. So I'm wondering, why am I still physically here, occupying space and breathing oxygen?
I can relate to that. I can understand it. You know, we all have a role to play. And as I say with the codes, I can only give brief pieces of information here on this venue, because without looking at somebody's total codes, I'm not going to get the whole picture on everything. But working with your first name, and we can do that because that influences the outer world a lot, and that can give me some idea and some understanding of things. Now, you know, in your aspect of the world, really just, I mean, being around other people is stressful, and it's full of anxiety, and, you know, this is part of why you don't like being around them, really. I mean, you have a wisdom, you have an understanding, and you don't have to speak it all the time, and you don't have to tell anybody, and you already know what's needed before anybody comes to you and says, this is what's needed. And so it's very easy for you to get frustrated with people who are not living in wisdom. It's very easy for you to get aggravated with them. And another piece is you can detect in this plane. Now, it would be different if you were on Pluto or the moon or something. But on Earth, your wisdom very specifically detects bullshit. And so
yes,
you can see right through anybody's lies. You can hone right into when they're manipulating. You can tell all the deception that's going on. And this is another piece, because you can see it so easily and you don't understand why everybody else is falling for it in things.
Absolutely. But it's so much bullshit. That's the thing. There's just so much bullshit around. I'm sorry to curse, but yeah.
So in this, what happens is just in your flow of energy alone, how it works is in order for you to have an impact on people in the outer world, you first have to be shining that light, which isn't easy to do in this world when you are kind of like exposing, like either you could be the liar, so to say, you know, in the world, but you're not based on everything.
No.
But no, you tend to be that person, like you would be a great truth exposure person because you can see it all. But your flow is to remind people first and foremost of what home is. And when we look at home from a code perspective, home is all about operating wisely from the heart. Okay, that's what the codes of home is. And so first you have to show them. You know, it's kind of like I was talking earlier. You can't just come out and, you know, here it is all on the table in transparency. People have to see it before they can accept it. They have to see where the deception is before they can accept that the deception exists. And so first you have to remind them of home. You have to remind them of what is wisdom. You have to remind them what is compassion. You have to remind them of these aspects. And then you are a person that will sit back and be still for a little bit and watch and see what happens. And you just kind of get quiet after you give them that first taste and see what they're going to do with it. And then you bring in more wisdom there. And then with that wisdom, you go, okay, what's needed in a situation? Okay, this is what's needed. Okay, here's the wisdom that needs to be applied to handle what's needed. So you actually have that ability to bring people around. You actually have a big facet there, but you've got a lot of teaching energy for your outer world. And we have to remember that sometimes what is our outer world is not always the same as our inner world, because they're
right.
Different things, or, you know, the whole full pattern. But in the outer world, you are always teaching people. Every choice you make, every action you take, people are watching you.
Yes, it's very
you.
True.
They may not let on to that, but they are always watching you. And they're always seeing
yes.
what you're going to do because you intrigue them. You intrigue them because
yes.
you, even though you might feel stressed on the inside around people, you don't always let that out where other people can see it. You come across and you realize you kind of take it and go, okay, whatever is aggravating me, it's just going to polish me up and make me look that much better. And so, you know, that's the interesting piece, but that's how you bring people home is you live in that way. So, yeah, you know, what you have to do as a result of this, though, is you have to make sure you're honoring enough time for yourself away from people, because it can get very heavy and very intense when people are looking to you for wisdom and looking to see what choice you're going to make, because they're gonna watch what happens to you, and depending on that, they're gonna probably follow suit depending on how it works out. You know, they look to you to see, you know, to expose some things. They look to you to be that one to kind of open that door in some ways. And
right.
So you have a lot of powerful energy there, and I would consider that. And, of course, teaching can be in so many different venues. You know, it can be spiritual teaching. It can be traditional school teaching. But, again, it doesn't matter what you do. You're going to be teaching. So, you know, considering embracing something that allows you to do more of that instead of just doing it behind the scenes could be really
okay.
good.
Since you said I'm a good detector of BS, perhaps law,
detective
because I was.
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
Yeah,
I'm sorry, what was
go
that?
Ahead.
Oh, no, because
no,
you like, oh, all right, because you said I could detect BS very easily. I was actually someone persuaded, you know, why don't you go into law school? And that's one thing I was thinking about.
For the outer world, for a career, yeah, absolutely,
yes.
You could do that. you could be very, very good at it, I would say, because of that ability. And again, because when you get in that system, here again, it's about teaching people mm-hmm. right from wrong. It's about teaching about justice and things. You know, it's about teaching about rights, different things like that. So there's a lot of layers of teaching when you get into the legal profession. And I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, like in my book, for example, there's no way I can cover every layer to something in the book alone. But this is a perfect example of how if you just heard the word teacher, you might just think traditional school teaching. But absolutely, looking at these different dimensions, the different layers of teaching about the truth, absolutely, law fits right in with that.
Right. Okay. Thank you so much. That was an eye-opener for me. That was a lot of information, and now I have a lot to think about. Thank you so much.
You are very welcome.
I think I may work with you maybe one-on-one because I was intrigued. I actually went on your website before the show started, and I started reading your what you had to say. I was like, what are these codes? What is this about? And then I started downloading your 2019 code book, right? And I was like, mm-hmm. wait a second, we're in 2020. But I started reading it because I was like, dude, this is intriguing. And then I was just like, okay. I was like, oh, I want to know more. And I was reading, and I was just, oh, my God, this is really interesting. It's very intricate, like everything. It's so intricate. The day, the moon, the planetary. I mean, it was just, it's a lot of information, and I really like it. So I may end up working with you. So I may book a session
awesome.
With you.
Yeah, that's awesome. And, you know, mm-hmm. jump into our study sessions. I make posts for current things that are happening, like, probably tomorrow I'll get the post out for June that'll go on my social media. And I love that you brought that up because it's actually one of the things I kind of forgot about is that whenever I release a new book, the old one in the ebook version, I can't do it on the paperback, but in the ebook version, I make available for free. So once I release the 2021 book in the fall, then the 2020 book will become free in the ebook version. Right now, people can go and they can look back on the 2019 and the 2018 ebook versions, and they can get them for free on Smashwords. So it is kind of a great way if somebody wants to take a little bit of look at the format and things and, you know, get a feel for what's in there a bit. It's a great option. So thank you for doing that. And thank you for checking that out, and I work with people in bits and pieces along the way, depending on what's going on for them.
I did have a question, maybe pertaining to everyone on the on the call or who's listening. How does your group work? Your coding group, how does it work if you're in another country? Let's say that, how does that pertain to, like, I'm going to be moving to Australia. So how does that work if you're not in the United States?
It doesn't matter because actually it goes by the date. So like I have people all over the world that work with the book, and obviously somebody who, you know, it like, right now, it's already May 30th in other parts of the world, so they're already working with the May 30th codes, whereas here in the States, we won't be working with that for a few more hours. You're going to love that in the 2021 book, one of the things that I'm implementing on the moon cycles is I'm actually implementing with the full moon the moon names for both the southern and the northern hemispheres. So that they get those different lunar energies because, for example, you know, you've got a snow moon in one part of the hemisphere and you might have a planting moon in the other part of the hemisphere. Same thing, I look at and provide the codes, like in the portal energy, I'll be providing them for both southern and northern hemisphere. So the northern hemisphere, for example, will be on the summer solstice soon, but the southern hemisphere is on the winter solstice.
Right.
So you know, they've got a little different vibration, and that does, you know, that does come up in there a little bit. But yeah, it actually doesn't matter where you are. The study sessions are free. They're recorded. And so if you can't make the live study session, you can always access the recordings. And once you sign up for the study sessions, you have access to all the previous recordings on there as well. So
okay.
A good
okay,
deal.
Brilliant. Yes, thank you so much. This is amazing. Mm-hmm. Hopefully there's a recording for this. I could hear it again one more time about
Diana,
what you just
there
said.
Is.
Thank you. Okay,
Diana,
great. Thank
there
you.
Is.
Yeah.
You can listen to this about 10 minutes after the hour. It will go into the archives. And
okay.
I can give you the World Wide Web address for you to access it. Do you have a pen handy?
Yes.
Okay. It's blogtalkradio.com.
Mm-hmm.
Author David Clark, spelled with an E.
Got it. Okay. Author David
yep,
Clark.
That'll
okay.
be in the archives about 10 after 9.
Okay, perfect.
Well,
thank you so much.
In.
Thank you, Jesse.
Okay,
thank
take
you.
Care.
I appreciate You're
it. Very
Have
welcome.
A great night.
You too.
God bless, Diana. Jesse, I mean, Ann, excuse me for the faux pas, calling you Jesse. There I go again. Force old
it
habits
takes
die
getting
hard.
Used to it's new, yeah.
It yes, it does. It does. So there are, there's one other caller. They haven't been with us that long, and I just want to make it clear to them that they can ask you a question, but Ann has done the life reading. So that's not available at this point. We just have 8 minutes left. And if you have a question, area code 203, I'm coming to you.
Hi.
Hi there. What is your first name?
It's Pat. I actually was here from the very beginning, but I got disconnected.
Oh, were you?
Okay,
Pat. Good.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for calling back in and hanging in there.
Oh, well, thank you for picking me up. This is fascinating. And I'm definitely going to go back. I was actually, while I was waiting for the show to begin, I was listening to last week's. It's absolutely fascinating and, wow, mind-blowing. And I'm going to go back and listen to all three. And, you know, I'm going to ask a question that really kind of doesn't have anything to do with any of this, but it's where I'm at. And probably you can help me. I'm getting a lot of messages, and they're almost like cliche. You know, I call up other programs on Blog Talk Radio, and I'm doing a lot of work for myself, a lot of work. I always do my whole life, but especially now as I'm 66 and feel like things are going to cement if I don't change. A lot of answers I'm getting are, you got to love yourself first and this and that. And that almost feel like cliche, and I'm sort of getting angry. And then I sort of feel like a brat thinking, you know, maybe you better stop and maybe it really is true that you really are kind of being a brat and insisting on being negative and holding on to negative thinking. And I just don't know. I'm really, really confused. But my instinct is telling me these are cliche answers, and people are more answering themselves than me. But then again, I'm not sure because I'm still very unhappy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there are so many layers to being happy, being unhappy in there, which I don't have time to go into on this call, given the amount of time that we have. But, you know, when we look at, and give me just a moment here. So happiness, if we look at the codes of happiness, it really has to do with being your true authentic self, okay? It has to do with living very, very freely. And so, yes, a lot of people, they throw these cliches out there, and there is a lot of truth to them. There's a lot of aspects of law of attraction and things like that that, you know, if we're being greedy, if we're being angry and vengeful and things like that, that energy is going to come back to us because that's what we're focusing on. When we start focusing on the more positive energy, then we do start drawing positive things in. Of course, when we look at things from a code perspective, that all kind of varies depending on, again, somebody's life codes. It varies depending on their personal year codes, what they're going through. You know, certain people have certain, you know, certain aspect to lean one way or another in things. So the challenge really might be for you, and I'm just throwing this out there, is you may still be working on really unfolding who you are,
yes,
and being able to live from your own space and your own perception and what you know is right for you, free from the influences of other,
yes,
people, and free from worrying about what other people think, whether they think,
yeah,
it's okay or not. It doesn't really matter because you have to be true to you and you need to be true to your soul self. And
yeah,
we become very happy, unhappy when we get very weighted down in the material things and we have a lot of things or people in our life that are making decisions for us that are removing our freedom when we put ourselves in heavily structured environments. And that doesn't tend to work really well for a lot of people, especially as they're coming into their soul growth, as they're, you know, as they're growing and they're bridging the gap between their soul self and their human self, and they're bringing the human self out of all of the material stuff and starting to live in, you know, the soul's energy. That can be scary for people to make that transition as well. You know, it can be scary because they've maybe learned to get a lot of attention being in the negative space or things like that, and they're worried that maybe they won't be liked if they're authentic. But the reality of it is when we're authentic, then we open ourselves up for people to like us for who we are. And we open ourselves up to a different group of people,
yeah,
that we don't have to conform and change to be liked or appreciated. And this is a really, really big piece, I think, personally, to be able to get to that space and to say, you know what, it doesn't matter if all these current people like me or not. It doesn't, like, I could sit there and go, it doesn't matter whether somebody believes whether I'm a walk-in or not. It doesn't, you know, like, I'm not worried about,
right,
that. I know who I am, and I'm,
yeah,
okay with that. And the people that are going to be right for me to have in my life can accept that, and they respect that, and they appreciate it. And the rest,
yeah,
of them, I really don't need in my life because we're not on the same page, and we're,
yeah,
not living in the same type of flow. So you have to decide what your flow is going to be, what works for you, what you want to be known for, and what you want to put your energy into. And this is a big year to decide that because, you know, we have to look at what we're really giving our energy to. Are we giving our energy to something that's going to benefit us, not just materially, but from within the soul? Are we,
right,
giving our energy to something that is destroying our world or building our world up?
Yeah. Yeah, long story short, this started a year ago when two people told me that I should probably, that it's probably time, practical reasons, put your dog down, which shocked me.
Mm.
Long story short, I did tremendous research. I'm so proud of myself. I saved one surgery by being patient and helping him heal on his own. And then the other surgery, oh my goodness, I was able to get funding for it. And by the time he got in there with the, what I had learned, the vet almost canceled it because it was, anyway. So I was so proud of all of that. And then I was told by this woman, you spend almost all your money on your dog, a couple of weeks ago. And then I was told that I'm so negative, that, you know, my depression or maybe my incredible exhaustion is because I'm so negative. And, you know, I'm always willing to look at that, but I'm so tired of hearing that. And, yeah, I think what you say, you know, I'm always willing to look at, is it me, is it me, is it me? But I just suddenly got so tired of hearing all this stuff, and I think you're right. You know, I think the cat story really got to me today, because that's where I am with the story of my dog and a real different opinions and me probably struggling right with a depression, because I I'm cherishing every day, and at the same time I'm kind of angry because I know I may be losing him any day, and that's a part of the uncontrollable human emotion about it, is the anger as well as the grief and, you know, the love and all that. Anyway, yeah, it's a whole mixture of things, and to be told that you're negative and that you're not standing in your faith and that that's why you're so depressed, it's tough, and it makes me really question myself. And then to say, well, you know, you're not going to have people around you unless you love yourself first, and I'm starting to say, these are cliche things, you know. But then they go back and think, well, maybe, look at me, I'm alone. Maybe they're right. So just confusion. A lot of confusion.
Well, Pat.
Yeah.
Pat, I'm going to have to cut you off.
I know. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm glad we were able to get to you, and thank you for calling back.
I appreciate it.
The last couple of minutes will not be recorded, so if you go back to the podcast, you were just saying will not
thank
be part of it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. God bless.
You too, Beau.
Thank you so much. So, Ann, thank you for another wonderful show. It was really illuminating, and I'm so grateful for your presence. I would like to... I'm not going to do it at this moment in time, but I will be in touch with you because I'd like to get you back on the schedule toward the end of the year, if you're open to that.
Oh, I would love to, David. It would be my pleasure to come back and be on your show. And certainly, I think if we do something closer to the end of the year, we can look at what's coming up for 2021. And, you know, again, just I encourage people to stay, you know, stay in that love center, because the world is changing. And I know we don't see it every day. I know we don't get to hear about all of the good things every day because of where things are at the moment, but they are happening. And really, it's like anything in our life. We have a choice, even when we're dealing with the hard things like Pat was just talking about, that we have that choice. You can sit there and just bathe that animal in love, knowing that it's close to their time, and just focus completely on all of that love going into them instead of all of the grief. It doesn't mean that you don't feel the grief or that you're ignoring it or denying it or any of that, but it just means that you know, you care so much that you choose the love. And we all deserve that. And we don't need anybody to tell us, you know, you're doing this right or you're doing that wrong. We all have our different places, and if we just come back to, you know, as cliche as it can sound, loving yourself, standing in the love, you know, choosing that love vibration, which we have the opportunity to choose every second of every day, we can transform anything.
I think that, you know, people that would judge something as right or wrong need to remember that what's right for one person is not right for another. And so
exactly.
I think we all need to stand in our own truth and follow our hearts, you know, and use our heads, but think with our hearts. And I love what you've talked several times tonight about choices. And I think that is so important, because we do have a choice each step of the way. And that's where we can make a change for the better if we choose the next best thing down the line. So I really like that word. It's very empowering.
And it's very important. And I think when we look at the world events, that's why this is so important for us to realize that, you know, especially out of all the rights, I mean, they're all important to us. We can't ever get up about our right to choose. We can't ever give up the freedom of choice. I mean, that's a God-given thing. and we don't mm-hmm. ever want to throw that away. God
right.
gave us that
right.
to get through anything.
Amen. You're preaching to the choir. Okay, well, thank you, Ann. It's been a pleasure.
My pleasure. Thank you, David.
You're welcome. So once again, we come to a close. Let's take time to pause and reflect upon the idea that we are all united through the diverse tapestry of our individual gifts. There is no real thing as separation except in our own minds. We are each unique expressions of the ultimate source of our beings. We are spiritual beings having a human experience who can and will have a spiritual experience when we let it be. Have a great week, and remember, whatever you dream, you can realize. Good night, and God bless.